What an incredible privilege that you and I share that we can come together here Sunday morning. We can worship the Lord our God, right? We just celebrated Thanksgiving. How much don't we have to be thankful to God for all that He's given us, for who He is, for who He's shown Himself to be in our lives? Yeah, things may be tough in certain areas of our life, in pockets and corners, sometimes in broad areas, but there is so much God gives to us. And here on Sunday morning, we get together and we worship for an hour. But the thing is, we don't live our lives here. We live our lives outside the walls of this church, where we do the journey of life, where we learn to worship God in the routine of daily experience of work and of play, of conversation, even of argument. In all that we do, we seek to honor God in the way that we do our life. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about some spiritual essentials, things that are just absolutely critical for the journey of our life. We've talked about reading God's Word, the Bible, opening it up, reading to understand and apply. We've talked about community, living life in relationship. We are not meant to do the spiritual journey all on our own. Today I want to talk to us about prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is simply conversation with God. We can make it so complicated, but fundamentally God says, talk to me. Talk to me about your life. Talk to me about your joys, your thanks. Talk to me about your sorrows. Talk to me about your sins. Just talk to me. It's conversation. God says, you speak, I will listen. Sometimes, you listen, and I'll speak. Prayer is conversation with our God. In Romans 12, verse 12, the text says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Regular conversation. Out of that comes the patience in affliction. Out of it comes a sense of joy, even when life has hardships. It comes through times of prayer. If we want to perpetuate what we experience here on Sunday morning for an hour into the week with the regular stuff we do, then pray faithfully, continually. Today I want to talk to you about what prayer is really about. What's the reason for it? What need does it meet in our lives? Why did God give it to us as a gift? Why is prayer so important? And as we do so, my hope is that you will understand deeper God's heart for you in constant communication. And my hope is that you'll grow in your capacity and much more than that, your desire for prayer. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. I'm going to talk a little bit. We'll sing a little. We'll hear a testimony, have a prayer, watch a couple of videos. All of it committed to helping us understand this spiritual essential, why prayer is so important in our lives. Why do we pray? Sometimes we miss the most obvious one. We pray to express thanks to God. In the rush and the hurry of life, we launch into the requests and the supplications, the needs, the hurts, the issues, and God says, time out, time out. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thank you, God, that you are Lord of this universe. Thank you, God, for who you are, majestic over all. I worship you. Thank you, God, for all you've done. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Notice how prayer is sandwiched between joy and thanks. It is the avenue by which we say thank you, God, and experience joy. God says, bring to me your praise. Maybe you've heard the acronym for prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's an ACTS prayer. Two of them, adoration, thanksgiving, are simply about saying, God, I worship and thank and praise you for who and you are and what you've done. Let's do that right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. God Almighty, the Lord of this universe, the master of all that is, the creator of things so beautiful we can hardly begin to express it. Sometimes, Lord, we take it for granted. Forgive us for that. Thank you that we can look up in the sky at night and see the stars in their brilliant array. We can see a moon at different phases. We can experience the beauty at night. And then the sunrise and the sunset. And the creativity with each new day being a little different. Sometimes a bright sunshine. Sometimes the fog that covers the world. Sometimes it's the rain that replenishes the earth. Sometimes it's the snow that blankets the surface. All of it, God, pointing to your majesty, your creativity. And then we see the wonder of our new child born. How amazing you are. Thank you, God, for what you've done this season of the year. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. What more can we say? But thank you. Thank you, Father, for the brilliance of the plan that sent Jesus as a baby to show us a servant spirit, a humble heart, a ministering willingness to do what it takes to reconcile. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to worship you now, but not just now, to pray in worship and thanks throughout the week, to express our thanks to you, Father. And we will do it as you motivate, as you inspire, as you remind us. We give you thanks, and we promise to do it all the time. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. In Luke chapter 2, Simeon, we're told, the prophet who was in the temple courtyards after Jesus was born, took the baby Jesus in his arms. And we're told that he praised God. And he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon praised God. He gave thanks for what God had done. And that, if you read that text, it moves us right into the next part of what we're going to focus on today and what prayer is. Have you ever gone in a moment of deep longing to prayer, where something that's been missing in your life bothered you so much and you just, maybe you're not even a praying person, but in that moment you were compelled to pray, a moment of urgency, of worry, of fear, of anger? There's a sign, I guess I was posted in a school in a southern state that said, in the event of a hurricane or tornado, the state Supreme Court ruling against prayer in public schools will be temporarily disbanded, temporarily dismissed. Why? Because you can't stop prayer. When the need is there, when the longing, when the fear, when the concern, the anxiety, we pray. God, if you're there. God, if you're alive. God, if... please hear. We're going to move into a time now where we talk about another part of what prayer is. And we're going to sing a song and watch a video. During the song and the video, I want you to think about what this has to do with prayer. What does it draw out of your heart? What does it say to you about what prayer is meant to be? Let's sing. Why do we pray? To express our thanks to God, but something even deeper than that, to experience hope. I know some of us get in this routine where we just kind of toss up a prayer, or prayer maybe becomes for us something far less than what God intends it to be. It's like self-talk or self-reflection. For some of us, prayer is simply an opportunity to cast out our wish list like we do at Christmas. Maybe God will be like Santa and deliver this year. But for those of us who have walked the Christian life for a while, it's something much deeper. Prayer is certainly not a last resort like the sailor, you've heard this story, who falls overboard. And as he's falling, he calls out to God, God help! And someone on the deck throws down a rope. He grabs the rope and yells back, oh, never mind, God, I've got the rope. For some people, that's all that prayer is, an absolute last resort. But it's never been what God intended. God intends it to be an opportunity to say thank you and to experience hope. What's hope? In the world today, in culture around us, it's a cross-your-fingers wish, a hope upon hope that maybe something will change, but you're not really sure. Not biblical hope. Biblical hope is an absolute rock-solid confidence that something is about to happen. It's an anticipation. It's an on-your-tiptoes waiting to see because you know an answer is coming. There's a confidence that is connected to hope. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that confidence. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I like the flow of that statement because it's prayer that gives us confidence in affliction. It's prayer that gives us hope that something will happen. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, as you're faithful in prayer. Because it makes a real difference. You don't have to turn to this passage, but there's a wonderful story in 2 Kings 4 about the prophet Elisha, who has been requested by a woman that he knows to come to her house in a moment of absolute desperation, of longing, of fear, of grief. You see, her son had just died. And Elisha comes to the house, and in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're told that Elisha goes into the room where the boy is lying dead on the couch. And he goes in and he shuts the door on the two of them and he prays to the Lord. Then he did something very interesting. Listen to this. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Then it repeats it. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. And then he got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and he opened his eyes and came back to life. Michael Durso is the pastor of Christ Church in Queens, New York. He was telling the story about this and he went on to say that what prayer is in part is a stretching ourselves out over a situation, whatever your situation may be. It's not merely tossing up a prayer in a moment of angst or tossing up a prayer as you quickly think about something and then forgetting. There are moments of absolute stretching ourselves out in prayer with longing, with hopeful confidence of what God will do. Expressing ourselves in hope, stretching ourselves out, and asking God to respond. I did a bit of a word study and came across this passage in Psalm 77, verse 2, where it says, "When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted." Have you ever, at 3 a.m, stretched out your hands to God and said, "God, I can't sleep. I'm so worried. I've got so much going on in my mind." Did you stretch yourself out? God says that's a wonderful thing to do. You express yourself by stretching out. In Acts 12, there's another example where Peter is in prison in the early phases of the church where persecution is already beginning. And Peter in prison, while the church is gathered together like us would be here on a Sunday morning, but they gather up in a big group and they are praying, we're told, earnestly. The root word for that word earnestly is they were stretched out in prayer. God, do something for our brother, our leader, Peter, in expectation that God will respond. I want you to hear a story this morning of somebody who's been through a time of deep darkness and longing. Nicole Marbach went through, and some of you know her story, went through a number of years of very difficult internal oppression, where she would regularly stretch out and ask, and other people on her behalf would stretch out and ask God to intervene and to help her. I want to invite her to come forward to share her story, her testimony of God's response to her stretching out in prayer. After she has given her testimony, a good friend of hers, Leanne Mortar, is going to lead us in a prayer.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to share a few minutes about my testimony of complete despair to hope and the joy of the Lord. When I was at the lowest point in my life, I was diagnosed with many different mental illnesses, including bipolar disorder, anxiety disorder, and attention deficit disorder. I was very suicidal almost daily and very, very depressed a lot of the time. And a lot of you remember that. I had major anxiety issues and daily mood swings. In order to cope with the extreme despair and pain, I also had several addictions, including alcoholism. The enemy would often feed me the lie that I would never be free, and I was told by my doctors that the mental illnesses were incurable and that I would be on many different medications for the rest of my life. I was in complete bondage most of the time, not wanting to live anymore due to the emotional pain. I was also hospitalized several times for my safety. I kept relapsing on alcohol and other things in order to fill the void that only God could fill. Most of the time, peace was foreign to me, and I felt very empty inside. However, I remember during my deep, dark times often crying out to the Lord and praying to Him. Without fail, each and every time, I would at some point feel peace, even if it was at the end of the day. The Lord would fill me with some hope each time that I cried out to Him in my sadness. It was as if He wrapped His arms around me and I could feel them. I also know that many, many people were praying for me during this time. I know now that each and every prayer was heard by our Father in heaven, and something was happening in the spiritual realm that I couldn't see every time a prayer was offered up on my behalf. I know these prayers kept me alive and helped me to cry out to God and hold on. These prayers gave me hope. When I explained to a friend one day that bipolar disorder was incurable, she told me, "With God, all things are possible." That verse filled me with a lot of hope, and it was the beginning of my journey of healing. And I am very happy to tell you that God has completely delivered and set me free from all of the mental illnesses and addictions. It has been over 3 years with no bipolar cycles or depressions, when I couldn't even go 2 weeks without with any period of peace, and over 2 years that I am medication free, when I was told that I would never be off medication. I not only have hope, I have the joy of the Lord, and that is my strength. To God be all the glory. So if you are going through a rough time, please don't ever give up hope. Continue to pray and cry out to the Lord, and He will answer you. Your breakthrough may be right around the corner. My husband never gave up hope on me, and today we are reaping the blessings of a wonderful marriage, and our children are thriving, and they know God is a healer. You can put the picture. The picture of the license plate on the screen is a gift Claude gave me for Christmas 2 years ago. It's a reminder for us and other people never to give up hope. I also have these words on the back of my van: with God, all things are possible. And that is the truth that is in the Word of God, and He said it, and I believe it. Also, if you are praying for someone else, don't ever give up hope that they will be set free. Their breakthrough may be right around the corner. Our God is the God of hope. He is an amazing, loving God, and His desire is to always fill His children with hope and love. God is good all the time.
Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful testimony of what you've done in Nicole's life that she's able to share with us because of your love. And thank you for those who continually prayed for her and put their hope in your promises. Thank you that because of the complete work that Jesus did, we can come boldly to your throne and pray with confidence. Our hope is not in the things we do in our own effort or in the things of this world, but our hope is in you and the power of your word. Open the eyes of our hearts to understand you and to be able to grasp the magnitude of your love for us, so that we are able to exercise our faith and trust in you with every aspect of our lives, including trusting you with the lives of those that we care about. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen each person here with power through your Spirit, so that Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith, and that they would grasp how great your love is for them. May they understand the incomparable gift of grace that you have given each one of them, so that they can live out their lives in freedom and power that you intended them to, and give each one of us courage to share this hope that we have in you with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a hand. Praise God. We pray to express our thanks to God. We pray to experience the hope that He wants to give to us. And here's the thing. We learned that prayer for us is a stretching ourselves out with the longings of our heart in a confidence that God can and will provide in response to deliberate, specific prayers that we raise before God. Now listen. You and I are not going to do that. We're not going to attempt it. We're not going to even come close to sharing that depth of our soul's longing and heart unless we trust that God. Jesus anticipated that issue when he was teaching his disciples how to pray in Luke 11. And after he had concluded the prayer, he said these words in Luke 11, 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, pay attention here, dads. Which of you dads, if your son asked for a fish, will give him a snake? Come on, think about it. 2 or 3 year old child. Or if he asks you for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, though you and I are sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Notice that he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't promise everything we ask for, packaged, gift wrapped, Christmas wrapped, and given to us in exactly the manner we expected. He promises us His Holy Spirit. Sometimes that means along with the Spirit comes the exact answer to the thing we request. Sometimes it's something much better or a different angle, a different answer. But nonetheless, God always comes through. His Spirit comes to our aid. Simeon understood that when he held the baby Jesus. It wasn't probably in his timing or in his way. It was near the end of his life, not the beginning. But Simeon held the direct answer to his prayers. And God promises to answer us. We need the eyes to see it, the ears to hear how he does so. I remember driving down this dirt road. That's what it was, gravel road. Before the pavement came in, before this building was put up. I remember stopping across from this property knowing it was for sale. At that time, we were worshiping at Gregory Middle School, about a 10-minute drive away. We were looking for a little more property. I stood here on the side of the road. I sat in my car. I looked at the property. We were just beginning to look at it. I started to pray and I said, God, could this be the place that you want us to plant ourselves, this community, this cornfield? Because that's what it was at that time. And in my heart, God said, yes. I knew it. I didn't breathe a word about it to anybody else. Because I thought, who am I to presume that what I believe I've heard from God, others are hearing from God too. It took a while for it to go through the congregation, through the council. But God had specifically spoken into my heart, this will be the place that you will plant the church. I knew it. I drove away with that assurance in my soul. Now, God hasn't always answered my prayers that immediately, that specifically, but He does by times. Other times when I've gone through a physical or an emotional or spiritual issue, I've had God come through with me by increasing what is a very low quotient in my life. And that's something called patience. All right? Not a very patient guy. But God has at times, when I've most needed it, elevated it. Many other prayers that I could give specific acknowledgement of answers. Because God responds to prayer. Here's the thing. Psalm 145 says that the Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. Authentically. Really. Specifically. And that raises one of the concerns that I often have about my own prayer life and the prayers that I hear so much being voiced here in suburbia. Generic suburban prayers. God bless us. God keep us safe. Sometimes I think it must make God sick how we pray. When He offers to us the world, if we'll just ask for it, we go and pray generic, unspecific, bless us, keep us safe kind of prayers. At Christ Church in Queens, I referred to that a little bit ago, there's the leader of the prayer team who is a lady and a mother, was talking about how she would so frequently pray for her children. God, my boy and girl, they're good kids. Just keep them safe. Until one day she said God really connected to her heart a reality that she was praying false prayers. Because the truth of the matter was that her son and her daughter were not good kids. They were into all sorts of trouble. And rather than praying, God bless them because they're such good kids and just keep them safe, she had to radically change her prayers so they would be truthful and authentic. So she began to ask that God would change her kids. God, my kids are not good kids, she would pray. They're in trouble. They're doing all kinds of things that are dishonoring to you, harmful to themselves, and damaging to others around them. God, they're going down the wrong path. Change them, I pray. And you know, maybe that's the change that needs to occur for you and me in our prayers. Maybe it's time for us to stop praying those nice, cute, suburban, generic, God bless us kind of prayers. Maybe it's time for us to say, God, I'm in a mess that I have made for myself. And I ask You to forgive me. I own it. I see it. I name it. And God, I ask for forgiveness. And for my child, God, I so much want You to be evident in their life. If it's necessary, or for my husband or my wife, if it's necessary, upend their life. Make their life miserable, if that's what it takes for them to get real and to change so they become the kind of person You want them to be. Now that's authentic, real praying. Naming it, saying it. So often in suburbia, we pray these safety prayers. God, keep me safe. Maybe it's time for us to start saying, God, give me the boldness to take the risk to do the thing that You're calling me to do. And I trust You to provide the safety with whatever measure that is like. What that means for you, You know. My life is in Your hands. Help me to be willing to risk my life for You if that's what it takes. That's what people all around the world are doing. But here in Western civilization, here in the United States and North America, we are so prone to pray for safety. But God doesn't want us to live safe, timid lives. He wants us to live bold, fearless, confident, expressive lives of faith. To pray real prayers. In Daniel, the book of Daniel, this prayer is mentioned. It says, we do not make requests of You because we are righteous, but because of Your great mercy. You see, now there's honesty. That's being real. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. O Lord, hear and act. Elisha, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand, over a boy, stretching himself out in confidence that God would do something, specifically praying for the life of a child. Does God promise always to bring the life back? Not the promise. But do you believe that He can? Do you believe that He can? The Bible is full of those kind of prayers. Stretching ourselves out in confidence. Number one, that God oversees and provides. That He oversees every situation. He provides, not always in the way we expect, but He specifically provides an answer to our prayers. Number two, that God has a purposeful outcome and good timing. A little while ago, in a sermon series called Walk Across the Room, I challenged us to go across the neighborhood, across the street, across the aisle in the grocery store, across your factory workplace or the office, to go across and start a conversation with somebody and just pray to God to take it somewhere. Across a school playground if you're a child or a teen. And I, at the end of the series, I asked you to take a step out and to make that commitment. And if you wanted prayer to sign your name, and 98 people signed their names on a list asking for prayer. And I don't know about you, but a number of us as leaders, and I have specifically been praying for you as you walk across the room. But do you believe that God is really involved in that? That your prayers are really making a difference. And as you stretch out and as you reach out, as you walk across, that God has a purpose that He is bringing about in somebody's life right now. He sees that person, the soul of that individual you're reaching out to. He knows what that person needs. He knows who you are. He knows the timing. Now, I'm not a very good person on timing because I'm a very anxious person to get to activity. I tend to push the edges. I tend to be a little bit abrupt and be ready to go. And sometimes God has had to say, slow down, Fred, one step at a time. God's timing. As you stretch yourself out in confidence, do you believe that God has purpose, timing? He will provide. He's got stuff going on. And He's answering your prayers specifically to bring something about. That's what God wants to do. Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, we can look at that in the negative light and say, well, God's going to do His will, so what's the purpose of me praying? That's not what it's meant to say. It's meant to say that you should and could make plans, but lay it before God and let His purpose work through it, and something will happen as you pray. 1 John 5, verse 14. I love this text. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, in the tradition that this church is in, the Christian Reformed Church, the Reformed tradition, we tend to focus our attention in a verse like that on those three, four words, according to His will. And that's a beautiful place to start. Everything has to be aligned with God's purpose and God's will. That's why in the Lord's Prayer it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. According to Your will, God, may it so be. But I think in our tradition, we've often missed the whole first part. Confidence in approaching God. Why confidence? Because God will specifically answer. He will respond. He's waiting and eager not just to hear and listen and then turn away. He's waiting, eager to listen and hear and respond. Confidence in approaching God. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may find grace and mercy, it says in Hebrews 4. Why? Because God is going to specifically answer the prayers that you and I raise. In John 14, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. That to me is one of the most amazing statements in the New Testament. That we will do greater things than what Jesus did. Not because we're greater. Don't misunderstand. We will do greater things because when He goes to heaven, He'll send His Spirit and His work will be ongoing. And He will perpetuate the work He's been doing and even expand it to greater potential. Then while He was doing it here on this earth, through all of us, He will do amazing things. Do you believe that He can do that? That He will do it? I think it's time for us to stop praying the small, suburban, generic, God bless us, God keep us safe kind of prayers. It's time for us to start praying God-oriented, Bible-centered prayers. God, do great things. In the life of my child who's wandering from You. In my family that is fractured through this Christmas season where I don't even want to get to do something, God. And I'll be part of it. I'm available to You to be part of that plan. I'll do whatever You ask me to do. God, do something in my studies. God, do something in my work. God, do something in our community. Turn the hearts of our neighbors to You, to love and to serve You. Change our community. Transform this continent for Your honor and glory. God, may we be the people who bring about compassion to the poor. May we see the needs of people through this Christmas season met. We have this tree out there in the fellowship area, Morningstar Mission Angels. And people have been gradually taking those stars, going home, buying presents, bring them back. They're there. There's more stars to take. Feel free to take some. And while you're doing it, pray that God will intervene in the lives of that family that you buy gifts for, that God will show them the love of Christ, that God will minister to their physical and spiritual needs. Stretch yourself out with confidence that God can and will do something. That God can bring about justice. That God can bring about mercy. That God can bring about change in the lives of people we know and love, and even the lives of somebody we just rub shoulders with who we happen to come across tomorrow. No happenings in God's business. God's providence bringing you together. A surprise occurrence to you, but God's planned timing to bring about something. As you pray in those moments, God responds. That's the kind of God we serve. Spiritual essential for the devout Christian life, for somebody really committed to this. Holding the Word of God, reading it and applying it. Living in community, because we're not meant to do spiritual life by ourselves. And praying to God, expressing to Him our thanks, and experiencing the hope, the confidence that comes from boldly claiming what He offers to us. God says, if only my people would pray that way. So we're going to wrap up this service. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to watch a scripture DVD, some scripture passages that talk about the God who answers prayer. Because fundamentally, this is what it comes down to. If I believe that God is real, if I believe that God hears, if I believe God listens and God answers, I will pray with greater boldness. If I develop that confidence that He is really in all of it. So I'm going to pray, we're going to watch this scripture DVD, and then we're going to wrap it up with a song of worship and of praise to God. And I pray that it motivates a week of prayer, a week of worship to your God, a week of listening, a week of following as He leads and answers our prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank You so much for the great promises You give to us. That You will hear and respond specifically to specific prayers. As we reach out and stretch ourselves out in boldness and confidence, You promise to come in and do Your work. It looks a little bit different in each of our situations, Father. But I know as I trace back, I can see with greater and greater clarity as I grow in faith just how involved and active You are. Oh, Father, I pray that You give to us that courage to take this spiritual essential to heart and to experience what You promise for us to experience, the blessing and the joy of hope that comes when we pray with boldness before You, continually, faithfully, expectantly. Oh, Jesus, show us that. Show us the answers that You will provide and grow our confidence through that process that will keep and even increase our heart's desire to pray, to communicate, to converse with You, to experience a community with You that You so long for us to have. Thank You, God, that You offer it to us. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.